Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. It's good to be back. So let's just get right to it. So this is my special rant session. Every so often when I do these shows, I just have a rant. And, you know, it's, you know, first and foremost, I want to say, you know, happy Veterans Day to the veterans in the United States who served this country with class and integrity and distinction, bravery. We don't give our veterans enough credit. You know, what bothers me in this country is that, you know, you can go to any big city or even a small city and you see you will see veterans who are homeless, who are deep in poverty. That makes no sense to me. And it's absolutely and completely wrong. You would think that these politicians in this country would be embarrassed. You know, they love bringing out the veterans when they're running for office or running for re-election, you know, and talk about how much they love the veterans. But when you look at what they've done, you know, for veterans, you know, benefits and things of that magnitude, medical, you can see that they haven't done much of anything for our veterans. That it's just talk, it's just smoke and mirrors, because our veterans continue to go without. They go without. We have absolutely positively failed our veterans in this country. And we should be ashamed as a nation, but we're not, which is, again, deeply troubling. But, I personally cannot thank the veterans in this country enough. You know, my family members, my father, who served in the military, you know, Craig Stroman, Erica Bryant, the Juanita Wilcox, Jason Merriweathers, all of these individuals who served this country with, like I said, with distinction, with integrity, the millions, the Leonas, the Wands, all these individuals, and again, I can't thank them enough for their services, their service to this country. And I think as a people, as a nation, we should be doing much, much more, much more. But the bottom line is this, ladies and gentlemen, politicians won't be accountable when we, the people, don't hold them accountable. So if we're not holding politicians accountable to do more for our veterans, then they're not going to be accountable. I mean, their attitude is, you know, they would rather collect a check doing nothing than collecting a check and putting in the work, the time and effort. We don't hold them accountable. It's like anything in this country, we tend not to hold people accountable. And nothing is going to change until we address that. Moving on, this week we had a few elections around in the state of Pennsylvania. We had a bunch of in Philadelphia as well. We had the district attorney race, the judges were up for re-election. Once again, voter turnout was pathetic in the city of Philadelphia, just atrocious. You know, in Virginia and New Jersey, the Democrats were successful. They actually won seats. New Jersey got a Democratic governor after 8 horrible years with Chris Christie, Republican Chris Christie, as their governor, clearly will be considered, will go down in history as not only one of the worst governors in the history of governors, but most definitely the worst governor that New Jersey has produced. I mean, he was just woefully pathetic. And those last 4 years of his tenure was just, I mean, marred by, scandal, the Bridgegate. These are the type of people. Chris Christie is the type of individual who should be banned from our electoral process. He should not be allowed to serve in any capacity in our electoral process. Just a corrupt individual that has no idea of how government should run and be operated. A classless bully, But the thing is he's a bully to those people he knew that he can bully. I mean, there are individuals that he knew not to cross, but it is what it is. You know, just like we have a president in this country who just, after this tenure, he should be banned from running for any elected office ever again. But we have to hold these individuals accountable. Michigan, had an election and only 17% of Michigan residents voted. 17%. Michigan still has a water issue, a poison water issue, an education system that is one of the worst on the planet, but only 17% voted. And we have to address those things. I'm like, what do we need to do? What is it that we need to do to get people to go out and vote in large numbers? That's important that we need to start addressing. Every election, people will say, well, Anthony, it's because people have lost confidence. They have lost confidence in the electoral process, so they decide not to vote. And, I understand that. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm frustrated with, the candidates that are coming out. But not voting doesn't make it better. Someone had posted that any facts and dates that anybody posted about the important, why voting matters, he would refute them. And I thought that was kind of odd, because the fact of the matter is that he said facts. He said that if you post any facts on why you should vote, he would refute them, which is weird, because you can't refute a fact. But it also made me, it was deeper than that, because I'm thinking, this is the problem with this country. One of the myriad reasons of problems with this country. But the fact that this individual said he said it proudly, I will refute all the dates and the facts about why voting is important. One of the main problems with this country is people keep thinking that their opinion is the law of the land. They can't decipher what a fact is and what an opinion is. They believe that facts can be supplanted by an opinion, which is, quite frankly, idiotic. A fact is a fact. You can't argue a fact. So that's one of the myriad of reasons why people don't believe in their government, because we say and we do things that are counter to intelligence. People also don't like the fact that when individuals call out people who don't vote, say, hey, you don't vote, you don't have a right to criticize. You don't have a right to criticize the Donald Trumps or anybody else that's ineffective in our electoral process. Some people feel like that's shaming. You're shaming non-voters. I, you know, my goal is not to shame you. My goal is to say to you that, you know, you can't keep complaining about what's wrong in this country, but you're not doing anything except complaining. Complaining is not going to get things done. And if you feel like the system is broken, then what are you doing to try to fix it? And if you say, well, there's nothing you can do, but you still want to have that right to complain. You still have that right to complain, but you have to understand that when you complain, nobody's listening to you. People will say to you, well, you know, you don't participate in any facet of the electoral process. You don't run for office. You don't volunteer. You don't do anything except complain. Therefore, your opinion doesn't mean anything. We don't care about your complaints. And people say, well, voting is really not important. It really doesn't change anything. It does change things. When the census is being taken every 10 years, and people say, well, I don't participate in the census because it's senseless. But then they complain about their streets are all messed up, you know, all, you know, ripped up, and kids are hurting themselves because the gravel has been pulled up, and because people drive it around illegally with chains on their tires during the non-snowing months. You know, street directional lights, you know, aren't there and needed. Thing block grants in which your community could benefit from, but because you choose, and you and so many other people choose not to vote, you can't have those things now. You can't benefit from those things. So voting is important. And as I said, if you feel as if nothing has happened, the government is what it is, then do something about it. Get involved. Run for office. Volunteer. Research the candidates. And if you feel like this candidate lines up with your belief system, then go out and support them. Volunteer your time. If you feel like, hey, I could run and I would rather run, do it. But stop complaining. My dad used to always say, look, son, people complain. And, you know, particularly if it's something legitimate to complain about. But while you're complaining at the same time, be thinking of ways of how to address that issue that you're complaining about. But what we see now, most people will just sit and complain. They complain, they complain, they complain. They talk about, you know, voting doesn't matter. Voting doesn't matter. It does matter. It really does. And when you don't go out and vote, it does lose. You do lose. You lose. You know, people are quick to talk about voting is not important, but they have no problem talking about, you know, the justice system is messed up. Oh, this justice system is horrible. It's terrible. You know, the rap artist Meek Mill, who was recently sentenced to 2 to 4 years in jail because he consistently violated his probation. You know, people are all up in arms about it. They're disgusted. You know, how dare they send this man to prison for 2 to 4 years because he kept violating his probation. I mean, right there you're co-signing to it's okay for him to violate the law that's in place. And some people have come back and said, well, I don't think it's right because he's going to jail for 2 to 4 years, but you have people in this country who are non-minority who will, you know, who have raped, who have run people over and drunk, you know, while drunk, police officers who kill unarmed African-Americans, people of color, you know. So this is why it's wrong. Okay, we can have that debate. We can have that. That's okay. That's a good debate. And my view upon what that is that, you know, as Janice Armstrong, columnist who writes columns here in Philadelphia for the Daily News, was spot on. You know, just a paraphraser that she said that Meek Mill basically, you know, torpedoed his own career. and put himself in harm's way, because he believed in his invincibility, that he felt like he could do whatever he wants to do, and that there would be no repercussions for his actions because he's Meek Mill. He's a big star. I'd be the first to tell you, yes, there is this dichotomy. You're willing to sentence this young man to 2 to 4 years for consistently violating his probation, but you're willing to let other people in this country go when they do very horrific things. You know, he has a large support base out there. You know, rap artist, entertainer, Jay-Z, who's come out, and other artists. Even a billionaire recently came out and spoke up for Meek Mill, and he said something that was, to me, extremely disturbing. He said that with the judge ruling that Meek Mill be sent to prison in 2 to 4 years, for the first time in his life, he's realizing that our judicial system is flawed, that it's, you know, that it needs to be addressed. Now, this same billionaire, you never heard him come out and speak out against the police brutality, the police murders of innocent people of color. You never heard him come out and say that. Or, you know, when women are treated, you know, like sex objects, and the justice system, the judicial system doesn't support them in bringing their you know, bringing those assailants to justice. Never heard him come out and speak out against that judicial system. But as soon as somebody that he's close to gets in trouble, now it's a mockery of justice. That, oh, sending my friend, you know, Meek Mill to prison, it's a horrible thing. But he didn't have anything to say about all the African Americans and Latino Americans and Asian Americans and, you know, gay and lesbian who have been accosted, who've been violated, who've been murdered for their existence. He didn't see a mockery of injustice then. It's only because somebody that he's akin to, there's issues. This, again, this is the type of behavior, this is the type of foolishness and buffoonery that's hurting this nation. For Meek Mill, it was real simple. Meek Mill needed a no member of his crew, somebody in his crew to say, no, you can't do that. No, you can't say that. If you go and do these things, here are the repercussions, and they're going to be dire. Meek Mill, like so many other people who have money in a pocket, you know, starts acting foolish. They start to act foolish. They start doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. And this is what's happening in our system. We have to hold these individuals accountable. We have to hold them accountable. So, you know, Meek Mill is doing what he's doing. Now he goes away. He goes away for a few years. And perhaps maybe during that time he has an epiphany. Maybe when he comes out, he'll be a better person, a better servant in society. Try to be a role model, even if he believes that he's not a role model. But we also have to start holding individuals accountable for when they do wrong. We can't say, you know, I work with youth, and I work with adjudicated youth, and when they get in trouble, they don't keep getting do-overs. They don't keep getting, you know, okay, we're going to put you on probation. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay, we're going to do that. They mess up once, then it's already to the gallows they go. So we have to hold individuals like a Meek Mill accountable. You know, in the black community, you should hold him accountable. You should say you represent, as much as you don't want to believe it, you do represent a race of people. And your foolishness, your antics, puts us all in harm's way. Stop it. Nobody was there to tell him that. No one was there to say stop it. And here we are. We have to hold each other accountable. And if we don't, this is the road we're going to continue to go down. Moving on. You know, Donna Brazier, the former DNC chair who took over for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, when it was found out that, you know, the internal emails that was floating around about basically sticking it to Bernie Sanders, wrote a tell-all book, and she talked about, you know, she felt like she basically told Bernie Sanders she believed that he got a raw deal. And, you know, once again, between, you know, the supporters of Hillary Clinton and the supporters of Bernie Sanders, the foolishness continues. And this is what's going to keep the Republican Party in office. I tell you again, this is what's going to keep the Republicans in office and continue to take this country down on the downward spiral, because that election is over. It's over. Hillary Clinton lost. Now all this new information saying that he might have cheated. He's colluded with Russia. Well, we know he's colluded with Russia. We know that. But if you guys are thinking that Donald Trump is going to be impeached, you need to stop holding your breath. It's not going to happen. Folks, these are politicians. And also, the thing is that they don't, that Nixon's, the Watergate was the worst modern day embarrassment to a president. And Democrat and Republican alike got behind closed doors and said, we can't have this ever again. People said, well, what about Clinton? He was impeached. Did he get kicked out of office? Did he leave office in disgrace? No. Impeachment is what it is. That means you are taken, you're removed from office before your term is up. Bill Clinton served his two terms. So people look at impeachment differently. And I think in many respects, the politicians want you to look at that. Well, we impeached him. We voted to impeach him. He stayed in by one vote. Did he stay in? Yes. Okay, well, was he impeached? No, he wasn't. Of course, he wasn't impeached. Donald Trump will not be impeached. He's not going to be impeached. And what supporters of Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, as well as Bernie Sanders supporters, look, if you don't, it's clear that you don't like each other. And what needs to be done at this point is you focus your attentions elsewhere. Instead of consistently talking about that race between those two, you know, people say, well, Bernie Sanders wasn't a Democrat. Okay, he's an independent, but he ran as a Democrat. He ran as a Democrat because, unfortunately, there's only two political parties in this country, which is a problem. If the independent party was stronger in this nation, then we wouldn't have this argument. But let's stop talking about, you know, this election. Let's put it to bed one for the last time. You know, and let me help you do that. You know, I wrote a short piece that I posted on social media back on November 4th, and I said 58% of the population voted in the presidential election in 2016. Now, I said that, ladies and gentlemen, because the running excuse for why Trump won was a lot of people didn't go out and vote. Do you know the four-year average voting for presidential elections since the 1970s? 60%. See, all this talk about people not voting in 26 and letting Trump win, it just needs to stop because it's not based in reality. Once again, Democrats voted for Trump. They won't tell you that. People won't tell you that, but they voted. Middle-class Americans voted for Donald Trump. Business Democrats voted for Donald Trump. Blue Dog Democrats voted for Trump. Registered Democrats did for Trump what they did for Reagan. And we still need to accept the reality that 54% of white women voted for Trump. And although those 50% of white women were not all registered Republicans, they were Democrats. Many of them were registered Democrats. So it's simply not based in reality that, 54% of the white women in America that voted for Trump were registered Republicans. It's not based in reality. Secretary Clinton, like Jimmy Carter, should be furious with registered Democrats. Now, that's a book that I would have went out and purchased if Hillary Clinton would have just dedicated, how many of it, 200, 300, 400 pages of a book? She should have dedicated it all to those Democrats that betrayed her. Blaming Sanders supporters doesn't carry weight either. I talked about this before the election, before that 2016 election. I said, if Secretary Clinton lose, don't blame Bernie Sanders supporters, because it's not going to carry water. Clinton supporters had a 4-to-1 margin of support for their candidate. 4-to-1 margin. So if every Sanders supporter didn't vote, if every single Bernie Sanders supporter stayed home that day, it wouldn't decide the outcome. And even if one of Sanders supporters voted for the imbecile in chief, even if they all went out and voted for the imbecile in chief, it still wouldn't have decided the outcome. But do you know what the outcome would have decided? Clinton supporters betraying her and voting for Donald Trump. And now we know, ladies and gentlemen, without a shadow of a doubt, that's exactly what they did. If half of those supporters voted for Trump, if half of Hillary Clinton supporters voted for Trump, and it appears they did exactly that, it would most definitely give Trump an edge. Ask Ronald Reagan. 58% of Americans voted in 2016 presidential election, where on average 60% vote every 4 years. A 2% drop in voting helped Donald Trump win? I think we all know the answer to that. So I'm saying to both Secretary Clinton supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters, it's time to get over that and move on. Either you work together to get a Democratic nominated and elected president, or keep the commentary to yourself. But in essence, the Republicans are banking on this constant battle between you two. You need to run a candidate for the Democratic Party that identifies with the middle class, the working poor, and the poor. Actuality, the working poor and poor Americans is definitely would be a plus for that Democratic candidate. Hillary Clinton had her opportunities to win and run, and she did. And she didn't break the glass ceiling, but I truly believe we can, 2020, will have a woman as President of the United States, because I think we need it. And my personal belief is that we need it. But honestly and truly, I really hope that Hillary Clinton does not run in 2020. The division is between Democratic supporters of hers and independent/Democratic supporters of Sanders. It's still too raw. It's still too early. And I think if she runs again, the Republicans are almost guaranteed to remain in the White House. I end this session of the Anthony Johnson Show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. Because of your service, I have a right to speak freely, and with that freedom, I know that your sacrifice that I gained me this privilege comes with great responsibility. Because of your sacrifice, I have a right to bear arms, and as a result of your service to me and America, I promise to never abuse that privilege. Because of your service and protection to me and America, I can take a knee and not be disrespectful to America's flag or to your integrity and bravery. Because of your service, I have no fear of being harmed by foreign invaders, not on your watch. I can never repay the debt of your dedication to me and America. None of us can. However, I will always be grateful to your sacrifice and will strive to be a better servant to this nation as you continue to do. Thank you, veterans. Good night.